This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Feminism in your ears. It's another broad podcast on Joy 94.9. Keep listening. Hashtag feminism. Hashtag podcast. Hashtag broad. On Joy 94.9.
If people are trying to resist, you've got to persist.
We stand for something better in this country, and that is a principle of egalitarianism. With the bloodshed and genocide of Indigenous people that this country is built on, we have a long way to go, my God. But if we know that, if we have in our hearts the recognition of that fundamental injustice, how the hell are we not fighting every injustice now? We can bandy around words like solidarity a lot, but we have to live it. If you are a feminist and you are not a member of a union, you are not doing feminism properly.
When women's rights are under attack, what do we do? Stand up, fight back! When women's rights are under attack, what do we do?
Ladies and gentlemen, are we here? Are you ready to march? Say yeah!
I am a nasty woman.
Shoulders of the ancient ones. The power of the people is louder than the evil, deceitful and coward. People in power, our power
to the people. It's the hour of the peaceful. Freedom is ours, yeah, freedom is ours. The power of the people is louder than the evil. Deceitful and coward, people in power. All power to the people. It's the hour of the peaceful. Freedom is ours, yeah, freedom is ours.
Una sangre, un desierto, cruzando frontera como muerto pa' que no pillen la luz dentro del pecho. El movimiento es un techo y casa de ladrillo. Ventana hacia el mañana, aunque no tenga vidrio. Espíritu en carne viva, que nos mate nadie. Idea no se muere, con sangre inocente. Ayahuasca en el vientre, historia insurgente. Zapatista, profesora, estudiante y rebelde. Buscando libertad de sur al occidente. De Cuba hasta Chile, humano valiente. Latinoamericano, africano del oriente. Indígena y extraña, el irresidente. Somos billones, un movimiento independiente. Buscando liberación dentro del corazón insurgente.
The power of the people is louder than the evil. Deceitful and coward, people in power. All power to the people, it's the hour of the peaceful. Freedom is ours, yeah, freedom is ours. The power of the people is louder than the evil. Deceitful and coward, people in power. All power to the people, it's the hour of the peaceful. Freedom is ours, yeah, freedom is ours.
This is Sonia Hammer, and this is this week's episode of Broad on Joy 94.9. And on this week's show, it was very special because it's all about the Women's March, women marching, taking back the streets, sending the message loud and clear that fascism, which is on the rise in the world and the globe, is not welcome, not on our planet Earth. And of course, a women's march on Melbourne was a great success, with around 6,000 women becoming part of that march and rally in Melbourne town on the 21st, Saturday the 21st, 2017. It all starts with the Women's March on Washington DC. But due to time, obviously, time zones, Melbourne, of course, and Australia was ahead of time, as was obviously Auckland. But it was a march that was incredible and very successful. And the Women's March on Washington, D.C., what is it all about? What's led it to this? I think I've spoken about it enough times on the show over the last few weeks, but basically, the reason is to affirm the shared humanity and to pronounce bold messages of resistance and self-determination to do with the election of Donald Trump, elected to become president, well, he is now, of the US, and what that entails and what that means for human rights, particularly for women who would take the brunt and are taking the brunt of this terrible affliction called Trump. And so women around the world in solidarity held marches also. And on every continent on this planet, women were marching, all six continents, including in Antarctica. How amazing. So not just in first world Western countries and not just white women. This was women of colour. There was all sorts of women involved, representation, because that does matter. Yeah, just a great list of women involved at the Washington DC. Equally as great what happened in Melbourne on the 21st as well of January. There was Nahui Aludikins, Kathy Lewis, Dr. Ursie Burke, Chris Stuckel, Van Baden was awesome, and Steph Ash, the organizer for the Women's March, held at the State Library and then marching up to the steps of Parliament, the Parliament building here in Melbourne, Victoria. I do have the full audio recording, and I'll do that in a separate special podcast later this week. This show may not have gone to plan how I'd hoped, but I just want to have a big shout out and thanks to the women who helped to organise the Women's March on Melbourne, to all of the women and all the allies around the world who helped make these marches happen. Thank you so much. To my guest, Manel Creed, who came in and really gave us a great insight into what's happening for Survival Day for Aboriginal and Indigenous people here in Australia. And thanks to Jane, who jumped in there and helped us out, even though we couldn't get to speak about the interview she had with Carol Wilson. So thanks, Jane Connery. So yes, thanks again for checking out the podcast for Broad on Joy 94.9. And we will hopefully keep you listening. Welcome to Broad here on Joy 94.9. We're here, we're in the studio, and that's a little segment there, part of the Women's March on Washington. DC, that is. And tonight we're going to be talking about that, the invasion of women on the streets, in your neighbourhood, parks, community, public spaces. Welcome to Broad. And of course, Broad would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands that we broadcast from, the Kulin Nation, and pay respect to all the Kulin elders, women from the past, present, and those women who will be our future elders. We'd also like to acknowledge with respect the traditional owners of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands that we broadcast to, and to pay respect to all elders and women elders from all clans and nations, past, present, and future. And yeah, Woman on the March. So we've lost a bit of time there, but that was a great piece of music that I played there. That is Heart-Led Rebellion from a group called Climbing Poetry. And yeah, I just realized what they did there, Climbing Poetry. Anyway, they're awesome. They were part of one of the Indigenous artists that were at the, of course, the Washington March. That was just on Saturday, January the 21st. 2017. So if you went to any of those marches, if you were lucky enough or you live in the US, let us know what it was like, what the experience was like for you. We've got a Facebook page, but SMS 0427 joy949. You can phone 1300 joy949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. And our handle for Twitter is at broadfem949. So that's at broadfem949. We're on Facebook as well. Put some pics up as we go through the show tonight. So talking about the Women's March on Melbourne as well, got some little sound bites for that if we've got time for the show, and we'll put the full podcast of the whole event. I was lucky to be there to record it. But I want to welcome to the show, it's her first time here in the studio, well, not first time at Joy, but first time on Broad, Manel Creed. Welcome.
Thank you. It's really nice to be back here again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's throwing it together a bit tonight, but, you know,
sometimes that doing what we works can. Better than, you know, having stuff all organised when you can just sort of ad-lib and just go with the flow.
Go with the flow. I think we go with the feminist flow tonight.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, actually, why are you here? Well, let's talk about you. We've got a bit of time. We'll chat about what Manel is up to and, of course, feminism and with Invasion Day coming up.
Yeah. Okay, so do you want to know a little bit about my background?
Yes, please.
Okay, so I'm from Queensland. Mm-hmm. My mob are the Kalkadoon, which is from up far north Queensland way. So we're from, my grandmother was born in Boolya, and we're Bindle from, on my, this is on my dad's side. My grandfather mm-hmm. was born near Eyre, but grew up on Palm Island.
Oh, okay.
And on my mum's side, we are Goongarree, which is around about Mitchell. So that's like southeastern Queensland. And we're also Noonuckle, Quandamooka, from Stradbroke Island.
Wow.
So I always say, you know, when people want to look me up on the map, I always say, well, we're like the diamond. So, you know, if you can imagine a diamond and the four points, that's basically where we are throughout the Queensland map. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, wow. I've never been up that way. So what brought you? I mean, you're here in Melbourne, obviously.
Yeah. I was studying 2007, 2008, 2009 at Deakin University.
Mm-hmm.
And after 3 years of travelling, because I was doing block study, because as you know, I have a mobility problem, the travel just became too much coming, because I moved down from Cairns.
Yeah.
And so after travelling for like 3-4 years, I think it was, I got to a point where I was in my final year, so I was doing Bachelor of Arts majoring in journalism. And the final year, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to be having really heavy work, you know, assignments.
Workload.
And so I thought,
stress.
If I move down, then I'm going to have more access to the library and, you know, better access to content down here than what I did in Cairns, because my background's in radio as well. And, you know, we only have four radio stations in Cairns.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what's the population though? It's you don't hear of it being like, you know, it's an enormous amount of people.
It's quite big now.
Yeah.
It's quite developed from when I first went up there. I couldn't tell you, but because it's a tourist town, you've constantly got people coming in and out.
Oh, right. So it's sort of like seasonal almost.
Yeah. So you've got your community radio, you've got your Aboriginal radio, mm-hmm. got ABC, and one of the popular networks like Nova or something like that. I don't know what it's called because I don't listen to commercial radio. But yeah, you know, there wasn't really that much opportunity for me for work, and in the final year of my degree, I actually got a job with SBS Radio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so as a content producer for the Living Black program, and I was there I was there for about 3.5 years.
Wow.
2.5, 3, nearly 3 years, yeah.
Right, yeah. Wow, okay. We are, you know, not worthy.
Well, no. I wouldn't say that. I mean, I'm not on air anymore. I haven't been on air for about September 2015, I came off air.
Right.
But I was lucky enough to actually win my first journalism award in the final year before I finished up with SBS, which was absolutely...
What was the award?
It was, first of all, I was a finalist for the Our Watch.
Yes, right.
That was a. I did write it down the other day. It was highlighting basically reporting exemplary reporting on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander domestic violence, and specifically against women.
Yeah.
And then we didn't win that, but then we finally won. So I won the award in conjunction with my executive producer at the time, who was Michelle Lovegrove. I don't know if you know.
Okay. No, Michelle Lovegrove. Don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we finally won the 2015 United Nations Media Peace Award. So,
wow.
Yeah.
What year was that? 2015. Wow. That's amazing.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. What happens now? With you, I mean, where are you going to take this?
Well, you know, that's the big question. That's the million-dollar question at this stage. Yeah. You know, I ended up finishing up with SBS shortly after that. So, actually, when we won the award, it was quite funny because I'd already resigned in October and the awards was in November. And we were running late to the event and I found out via Twitter that I'd won. So...
God.
Amazing what social media can do for you.
Amazing.
Wow.
Well, you know, and I guess that was quite a viral tweet. That trended.
Sure did. I think the whole night trended because, you know, some of the other winners were, I mean, SBS won quite a few awards that night. But Waleed Ali, you know, of course, he's always winning, you know,
pretty amazing
journalism awards. And and quite a few other women. And there are a few other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as well who won awards. So, you know, it was a really good night.
Now, for just to jump to obviously the next few days with Invasion Day, you know, recognising that. I know Pride and Genocide, there, of course, is a few events and things going on. And I know this is throwing a question at you, but what can women do, like black and white women and all women, do as far as about Invasion Day, perhaps as feminists? What do you suggest that they do or stand up and...
All right. Well, my first thing is I kind of have a little bit of a problem with the word Invasion Day.
Okay.
I try to look at the positive side of things, and I like to consider that my people are survivors, so I like the word survival day. I mean, when you put a negative connotation on any particular word, I think that most people are not as accepting of that, you know? It's just like when you scream something at somebody, they're not going to listen, but when you say, hey, listen, and, you know, you're kind of doing that wrong, or, you know, maybe you could do it this way. There's a total different
perspective.
And the attitude that you give and that you get back, I think that with, you know, using more positive words, I mean, we are never going to forget what happened. You know, the lasting, you know, intergenerational trauma that has come, you know, from that particular incident, you know, it's ongoing. But, you know, in terms of what women... you know, right across the country can do, I think, is just to acknowledge the impact that this has had, especially on our mothers and, you know, the women who lost children. I mean, I've been very lucky that I grew up with all of my family on both sides.
Wow.
But my grandmother and my great-grandmother were part of the Stolen Generation.
Right.
And my mother was adopted out. And so, you know, we knew all about Mum's grandmother, but we didn't know really who she was until later on in our lives, kind of thing. So it's been, you know, my grandmother actually wrote a book, and she's an absolutely amazing woman, and I could actually talk about her as well too. But she grew up in the dormitory, and she actually wrote a book about that being taken from her mother and growing up in the dormitory. And when I read the book, you know, of course, when you know your grandmother, you don't think of her as a little girl or a child, because, you know, she was always, you know, a woman, an elder in you know, when I was growing up. And when I read her book, I just had tears pouring down my face. Because when you read a book, you know, you become that person.
I have to put some links up for that.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. I'll give you some links for that.
Please do. Yeah.
But,
so would you call it, Survivor Day or Survival Day?
Survival.
Survival.
Survival Day, yeah. When I read my grandmother's story and, you know, all the hurt and the pain that she had gone through, I look at my grandmother as that one of, you know, the amazing survivors. And I think as a woman myself, you know, I actually told her that when I won that award was because of the impact that she had on me. And so I think that if we recognise the role that our women played in maintaining our families and, you know, allowing our people to survive, because, you know, without our women, I mean, yes, our men, but, you know, our women are the childbearers and the ones that look after family. So, yeah, I think that, you know, if we acknowledge and remember the role that Aboriginal women played and ask questions, because our people are not afraid to talk. Most people don't understand the impact and what happened during that assimilation process. And so, you know, be
and
curious.
Still, yeah, still the impact that it has.
Yeah, be
and
curious.
Blasting.
Yeah, and ask questions.
Well, there is the, if people do want to go to that rally, there is that rally that is happening at Parliament House, Parliament Building, here in Victoria, if you live in Melbourne, Spring Street, Melbourne. I'm sure that there will be some really interesting people talking, speaking, hopefully, and anyone can go. So if you are a feminist, you're a woman, you're a white woman, and you want to know more and what to do, it might be a good start, and we'll put those other links up on the Facebook page for Broad as well. And I found another site, actually, if I can get my something together here, get myself together. Oh, goodness. And that is, there's a site you can look at which talks about listening, which is really an important part to listen to Indigenous people. It's called Learn to Listen This Invasion Day, and it's on the Broad Facebook page, and it looks at some of the people, names that are, you know, household names virtually now, I think, pretty much. Celeste Little is there, someone who, she calls herself a black feminist ranter. She's online, and
I love
she
Celeste.
Says heaps
She's amazing.
Of awesome stuff. There's Anakia Louie, also fantastic, part of Black Comedy that was on ABC, which I loved as well. What did you think? It was hilarious. It was
I actually met her.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
At, what was that, the Arts Centre?
That's right, yep.
Here in Melbourne. There's another woman I don't know much about, Anita Heiss.
Yes, I've interviewed Anita on a few occasions.
You are just dropping, you're dropping names around here.
I also know Marcia Langton.
And of course, Marcia Langton. Who wouldn't? The fierce, awesome academic woman, writer. What doesn't she do? Broadcaster. And you're a wonderful broadcaster too,
Manel. Thank you. Thank you.
We're just going to have a listen to what someone called Van Badham, if you don't know her, well, she's everywhere pretty much. She was at the Women's March in Melbourne, here in Melbourne on Saturday. So we'll have a listen to a little bite of what she had to say, because she said so much cool stuff and rousing the crowd. And she talks about, you know, how we need to look at and be part of the Indigenous and Aboriginal recognition for women as well. So, yeah. This is Broad here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Scarlett, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Women must decide our fate, not the church, not the state. Women must decide our fate, not the church, not the state. Women must decide our fate, not the church, not the state. Women must decide our fate, not the church, not the state. Women must decide our fate.
Excellent.
Donald Trump, a man that said women who get abortion should be punished. Shame. Now for our final speaker, a woman who needs no introduction, a powerful journalist who uses her words to fight and smash the capitalist and patriarchal world we're in. Van Badham, everyone.
Hello, Melbourne. My God, you cannot imagine how beautiful it is to be here and see how many of you are out there. Give yourselves a huge round of applause. What an inspiration to the other women around the world who are taking action on this dark, dark week. But from the outset, the most important acknowledgement of all, it is the honour and privilege of my life to stand here today speaking to you on Aboriginal land. I pay full respect To the elders past, present and emerging, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, thank you for letting me be here today. I'd also like to acknowledge that it hasn't been an easy thing for a lot of us to come out today, given the absolute tragedy that took place in our beautiful city yesterday. And I'm sure I am one of many who are grieving for that senseless act of violence that hit our city like a wound to the face. And in respect for the families who are suffering an unimaginable grief today, I'd like everybody to take a couple of seconds of silence in acknowledgement of their pain. We have such an important task ahead. We have the struggle of our lives ahead. Ideas that we thought had been scourged from the mainstream many decades ago are back. They are back at the front and centre of campaigns being waged across the world. Nationalism, self-interest, misogyny, structuralised racism, absolutely unabashed homophobia, an attack on the progressive, inclusive values of diversity that have brought peace and have brought harmony and have brought sanctuary to so many. We are in it for the fight of our goddamn lives, and let us not pretend that fight is not taking place here. When the four One Nation senators were elected last year, it was on about 4.5% of the vote. They are now outpolling the Greens. They are using the internet, organising structures, groups, talking to one another, misinformation, the propaganda of hate and division, and they are working like they never have before to build their platform and their influence. Let's acknowledge the shameful, shameful capitulation to the politics of Hansenism by Malcolm Turnbull this week. And the shameful capitulation to the politics of Hansenism by Colin Barnett in Western Australia this week. Religious persecution, picking on minorities, attacking women, and on something so pathetic, so base and so controlling as the basic individual human right for women to decide what they can bloody wear. This is nonsense. It is viral nonsense. It is hateful, evil propaganda that is spread like a false spur of hope to people who are desperate. And unless we acknowledge why these ideas are taking root in the persuadable group of the Australian electorate, we are doomed to fail. We have to acknowledge the scourge of casualisation, of insecure work, of attacks on minimum wage, and attacks on penalty rates, and attacks on workplace safety, and attacks on the right of people to go to work in the reasonable expectation that they will come home again. It's this insecurity, this fear, this economic destabilisation that makes large communities of isolated people who do not live in diverse communities perfect targets for hate, perfect targets for a bit of xenophobia, perfect targets for blaming those feminists, those Muslims, those immigrants, those refugees. We hear it again and again and again. The only thing that changes is the name of the scapegoat. We can bandy around words like solidarity a lot, but we have to live it. If you are a feminist and you are not a member of a union, you are not doing feminism properly. If you want to have a conversation with the working class, there's a really easy way to do it, and that's participate in it. your workplace, your community, your church group, your political organisation, your student union, your neighbourhood and your goddamn family, these are where we will and must organise. We stand for something better in this country, and that is a principle of egalitarianism. With the bloodshed and genocide of Indigenous people that this country is built on, we have a long way to go, my God. But if we know that, if we have in our hearts the recognition of that fundamental injustice, how the hell are we not fighting every injustice now?
Hi, we're the Girl Fridas, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
I missed the Broad.
Oh, that's
dang it. Again, sorry.
Do it again.
Hi, we're the Girl Fridas, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
My name is Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd is here.
And I am a feminist. And I bring you words from Nina Donovan, a 19-year-old in Middle Tennessee, and she has given me the privilege of telling you what she has to say. I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust. A man whose words are a diss track to America. Electoral college sanctioned hate speech contaminating this national anthem. I'm not as nasty as Confederate flags being tattooed across my city. Maybe the South actually is gonna rise again. Maybe for some, it never really fell. Blacks are still in shackles and graves just for being black. Slavery has been reinterpreted as the prison system in front of people who see melanin as animal skin. I am not as nasty as a swastika painted on a pride flag. And I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets. A mustache traded for a toupee. Nazis renamed the cabinet electroconversion therapy, the new gas chamber, shaming the gay out of America, turning rainbows into suicide notes. I am not as nasty as racism, fraud, conflict of interest, homophobia, sexual assault, transphobia, white supremacy, misogyny, ignorance, white privilege. I'm not as nasty as using little girls like Pokemon before their bodies have even developed. I am not as nasty as your own daughter being your favorite sex symbol. Like your wet dreams infused with your own genes. But yeah, I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman. I'm not nasty like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmothers fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. Scarlett Johansson, why were the female actors paid less than half of what the male actors earned last year? See, even when we do go into higher paying jobs, our wages are still cut with blades sharpened by testosterone. Why is the work of a black woman and a Hispanic woman worth only 63 and 54 cents of a white man's privileged daughter? This is not a feminist myth. This is inequality. So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be nasty. I'm nasty like my blood stains on my bed sheets. We don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are pads and Tampax still taxed? Ooh, that was a brand name. Why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is the blood stain on my jeans more embarrassing than the thinning of your hair? I have been zipping up my smile, hoping you don't think I want to unzip your jeans. I am unafraid to be nasty because I am nasty, like Susan, Elizabeth, Eleanor, Amelia, Rosa, Gloria, Condoleezza, Sonia, Malala, Michelle. I love you. Thank you.
I have such admiration for Black Lives Matter. Diaz Eliza Garza, she's one of the founders of Black Lives Matter. I mean, this is a movement that started by two queer women of color that has, like, shaken the political establishment of America, that has forced, like, presidential candidates, forced the president to address it, that has deeply challenged, you know, really many institutions of white supremacy there, and that spread around the world. Yeah, I have such admiration. When Ferguson first happened, I have to admit, I was looking at it and I was like, man, it felt like Occupy was children's dress rehearsal compared to what people are doing here and what people are risking here.
Feminism, and does that play a part in what you do?
I mean, obviously I'm a feminist. I tend to subscribe to the Gloria Steinem definition, which is that it's the revolutionary idea that women are equal human beings. How that plays out with my relationship to other people who identify as feminists, that's a different thing, of course. You know, there's a huge amount of disagreement and debate. But for me, my feminism comes from the belief that no one should be restricted, no one should be marginalized, no one should be trivialized, no one should be made simple, no one should be locked in a cage or even put up on a pedestal because they're a woman, because we're humans, and humans have the right to equality and freedom, and also humans exhibit the full diversity, good and bad, of characteristics, men and women. And I would say that you should never let anyone, not a lover, not a husband, not a parent, not a sibling, you should never let anyone steal from you the sense of your own value and your own dignity. And I should also say that the most valuable thing we have, one of them, is a community that loves us and that nourishes us and that has our back.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Molly Crabapple, and you are listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Hey, and this is Broad on Joy 94.9. And that was Ashley Judd. Ashley, of course, is fantastic with that little speech from Nina Donovan, who was a 19-year-old who wrote that poem, or slam poem, slam poetry. And she recited that, Ashley recited that for her on air in the broadcast that was from Washington, D.C., the Women's March on Washington, D.C. Now, we were to have an interview with someone, but unfortunately, looks like the phones aren't happening. Yeah, so that is unfortunate at this stage. I can't get the phones to work. Technical things are happening. I'm looking at Manel. I've got the wonderful Manel Creed in
but
here.
But that's okay, because I'm still here.
You're still here. Because we talked about Survival Day. Some people call it Invasion Day. A lot of people call it Australia Day. And we talked about, you know, for women, feminists, white women especially, what we can do, what people can do, and how to, yeah, acknowledge it and recognise the pain and what's happened in the past. And it's been such a intense time with the last week or so here in Melbourne especially, so there's a lot to think about.
I have interviewed Anita Heiss.
Oh, okay.
And I have interviewed Celeste Little as well.
Yeah.
And who was the other lady that was on the top of that list?
Nakualui.
Yeah, she's absolutely amazing. It's amazing how outspoken she is on Twitter. I sometimes have to
tweet us at broadfan949, or you can SMS 0427 joy949 on air at joy.org.au. Yes, we're going to have a little bit more of the Washington DC crowd, because we were meant to speak to Carol.
If you've got any questions for me,
tweet
in and text
or
in
SMS.
And
we're on Facebook too.
I'm happy to answer.
Yeah, let's do that. Well, you do that, you people listening out there in the ethosphere. Here's some more sound bites from the massive Women's March on Washington, D.C. We'll have some more Melbourne content too for the march that happened down under. And the numbers at this stage, looks like it's about 4.9 to 5 million people just in the U.S. that marched. Very auspicious and very important. This is Broad on Joy 94.9.
So don't try to divide us. Do not try to divide us. If you force Muslims to register, we will all register as Muslims. Have you been to the gynecologist yet? That was the question my mom asked me at 15 when I informed her about a change that I had noticed in my body. Now, I'd like to start off by saying I am not by nature a particularly private person, but by profession I am extremely private. I'm not the type to divulge facts about my personal life. I am fiercely protective of my family, and I have no social media presence. But I feel that in the face of this current political climate, it is vital that we all make it our mission to get really, really personal. So yes, at 15, I had been to a gynecologist. I was living in New York City and had visited a Planned Parenthood there. My mother moved to California a few years before my brother Hunter and I were living with my father, and at 15, I had been working in the entertainment industry for 8 or so years and had been fortunate enough to be eligible for private health insurance through my union. Our family struggled financially. We'd been on public assistance for several years, and I was primarily responsible for making my own doctor's appointments. But still, I was nervous about taking this next stride towards womanhood, and it was actually my clinician at Planned Parenthood who suggested I speak with my pediatrician if I was seeking a referral. She was compassionate and professional and told me that she was happy to treat me for regular checkups and, when the time came, for STD and cancer screenings. No judgment, no questions asked. Planned Parenthood provided a safe place where I could be treated with gentle guidance.
Hi, this is Clementine Ford. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9, and I'm encouraging all of you to fight like a girl, just as I know Sonia does.
To the rebellion, to our refusal as women to accept this new age of tyranny, where not just women are in danger, but all marginalized people, where being uniquely different right now might truly be considered a crime. It took this horrific moment of darkness to wake us the fuck up. Let's march together through this darkness, and with each step, know that we are not afraid. That we are not alone. That we will not back down. That there is power in our unity, and that no opposing force stands a chance in the face of true solidarity. And to our detractors that insist that this march will never add up to anything? Fuck you.
I'm Melanie Campbell, Black Women's Roundtable. How you doing? While we march to declare we are ready for the fight. We, the Black Women's Roundtable, Black Youth Vote, National Action Network, and all of our sisters in the movement stand in solidarity with all of you, 300,000 strong. We will stay woke, and we will not be moved.
An organization whose principal founder was a white woman named Mary White Overington. The NAACP stands with you today in solidarity. As a nonpartisan organization of over 500,000 members across the length and breadth of this nation, in 50 states, Germany, and Japan, to declare that women's rights are human rights. We send a message to our new government that we will not stop until women enjoy equal status. The silence in America has been deafening for Black women and our families, who also feel forgotten and locked out of a prosperous society. For centuries, we've been overlooked and most oftentimes left behind, even in the movement to advance women's rights. And so I call upon you, my sisters, in the words of my ancestral Shiro Sojourner Truth. Ain't I a woman?
Yeah. And ain't I a woman? I think we all are. And I'm actually going to throw someone in the deep end here just for a bit. I'm going to introduce her because she's gone to great lengths tonight, has Jane, to try and bring us Carol Wilson. Unfortunately, that didn't happen because of technical issues. But hey, I'd like to welcome you to Broad for your first time on air in the deep end.
Oh, thank you, Sonia. It's lovely to be here.
It would be good if I turned your mic on. We'll do that again.
Hello. It's really nice to be here. Thanks,
Sonia.
I've been
thrown out so much tonight, I tell you.
It's okay. You're doing well. You're doing very
Pressure's
well.
Pressure's been on.
Well, maybe this can just be a bit of a preview for something you might be able to do next week.
I hope so. Yeah, because it is good to look at like all those wonderful placards and signs at the Melbourne. The Women's March on Melbourne was beautiful enough, but to see some of the stuff all over the world, and that's what Carol would have spoken about, and hopefully we'll get her next time.
Yes, Australia has a rich design history, and we also have a rich history of women designers, and there's not a lot of platforms for them to have a voice and talk about their work.
And who are you?
And who am I?
Really introduce who you are first.
I'm Jane.
Yeah, well, we did your name, didn't we?
You did.
I'm
a designer, also a design educator, and also more recently a design researcher. I'm doing my PhD on women in design. So it's really great to
not
have
not designing women, but women in design.
Other way around. But there's lots of women who'd love to talk about their work, and I think everyone listening out there is really interested in design and would love to hear from them. But the placards, yes, very interesting. Just before I came in, I saw on social media that the big Washington March, they've all left their placards on Trump's front door at the hotel he's staying at.
He's
they've
so
just
lucky.
Piled up metres high.
So he can't climb out.
No.
That's a good idea.
Well, he's going to be reminded constantly, isn't he?
He's never going to, his popularity's just gone dump. Dump Trump, let's face it. Yes, there's some really strong words from perhaps a lot of those sound bites I play, but you know what? It's our time, and for women around the world, here, everywhere, it's our time. It really is. And for those naysayers who say, oh, nothing's going to happen out of these protests, I disagree, because it's because of protests that we have things like the opportunity to vote, for women to vote, for all humans to vote if they want to, in most countries now, although there's still a few places that you can't if you're a woman. And we've got things like a lot of the civil rights movement issues, and all of those things are so essential, and they wouldn't have happened without demonstrations, protests, civil disobedience. All those things are essential, and I'm looking at you, Jane.
Well, it's true. The vote for women in Australia, you know, I can't help but bring design and art to every conversation I have. The only sculpture representing females in Melbourne is one of the big monster petition that women filled in. It's wound up, it's metres and metres and metres long, but there's this beautiful white sculpture down near Parliament Station that signifies that contribution women have made to getting the vote in Australia.
I don't know what you're talking
about. You've probably walked past it a million times.
The Eiffel terrible. Manel?
No, I don't think I...
But every other sculpture in Melbourne is pretty much a bloke, and this is the only one.
Well, are we talking bronze sculptures?
Yeah. Public sculptures.
I'm going to correct you on this.
Oh, yes, please do. Good.
We actually do have a female sculpture here in Melbourne.
Yes.
In Treasury Gardens.
Treasury Gardens.
And it's of, it's actually a... female, male and female. So it's Pastor Doug Nichols and Lady Gladys Nichols, and she is the only female bronze statue
there you go.
Here in Melbourne.
So
an Aboriginal woman is the only bronze statue here in Melbourne.
That's
so...
More
it's only just around the corner. Yes, there you go. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Someone else we can maybe get in, a friend of mine, Marie Cootie, has done a bit of a survey of the sculptures in Melbourne. I'll have to make sure she adds that to hers.
Yes.
Maybe she can talk about it some more.
That's cool. Manel, I'm surrounded by two, well, not surrounded, but looking at two awesome women in the studio, because even though we may fail sometimes of our technology, at least we can talk to each other and surprise each other.
I can talk about anything and everything.
That's why you're a broadcaster.
I'm a wealth of knowledge.
I keep hearing the saying at the moment, especially around Trump, that if people are trying to resist, you've got to persist. And that's what you've done tonight. The technology is trying to resist.
It's funny, isn't it? The patriarchy, you know, they're always there somewhere. You know, although I'm sure a lot of, and I'm no science woman, obviously, but I'm sure there's a lot of women who are involved in the making and creation of computer technology, and we honour them tonight, whoever they are.
Well, especially in technology and coding. What's that new movie?
Hidden Figures.
Yes.
Yes, very excited about that. Three African-American women that were involved in the space race, and if it wasn't for them, that, that tin can flying around, orbiting around the Earth wouldn't have happened.
No. Or wouldn't have got back to the Earth,
well,
I think.
Well, it's a big tin can, but, you know, that thing.
I don't think I would have liked to have been on that tin can.
Well, it got back to Earth eventually.
Yeah.
You know, burnt up a bit.
I can't handle deep space, and I can't handle deep water.
You've not done deep space,
so,
okay.
No.
I don't like deep water either.
No, so
I don't want to be a pilot.
I would never have been able to do that.
Oh, there's the sculpture. No one can see this because we're on air.
No,
but
no.
I shall put a picture of that on
and
the Facebook
coding one too.
Beautiful.
On that sculpture, when the Invasion Day march starts on Thursday, I think it is, Australia Day?
Yes.
Invasion Day?
26th.
Yeah, so it actually starts from this sculpture.
Oh.
Yeah, so...
Wow.
It's in Parliament Gardens.
Well, so it's quite next to the other one that I was talking about.
That is cool.
Be good if everyone keeps their eye out for public sculpture as they're walking along. Be a bit more aware
of it. And so what happens is people gather there and they usually have one of our traditional owners who does a welcoming speech, welcome to country, and there's usually a fire ceremony and then people walk from there to Parliament House where all of the speeches are done, and then once the speeches are done, and then we do the march down to Federation Square. So, so if you're walking through Parliament Gardens, it's the only statue, and it's the only statue of a man and a woman here in the whole, I think, the whole of Victoria.
I think probably
that's
right.
Shocking, isn't it? I mean, I'm glad it's there, but it's kind of, you know, wakes you up to how much more needs to be done to recognise people from the past.
There needs to be, especially around the perimeter of the MCG, one woman for every man that's standing around there.
Oh, no, that's I don't go there. I'm not a sports person, but, you know, I'm sure a lot more could be done.
Yeah.
and should be. And speaking of that, look, I can't help but want to play more from our Melbourne march that happened this weekend. It's just, you know, getting the time to do it, of course. But there was a wonderful woman, a Latinx woman from Mexico, who was over here talking about the inequalities and many of the things that Trump has done to do a lot of damage. Not trying to put anyone down, you know, and feel bad or anything, but there still is a long way to go. And speaking of that, we will have Bite Me Down Under very soon with Beck. So we're going to have to wrap it up. That was quick.
Down real quick.
Well done, we got through.
Yeah, we almost got everybody except Carol. Apologies, Carol. We'll be in touch very soon. Thank you, Jane, for helping out with Carol.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me tonight.
Cool. No, thanks. Because design is really something very interesting, and representation is important too. And Manel Creed, thank you.
No worries. It was lovely to be back on again.
I know. Well, no, it's the first time abroad, but you did, you were on a few times for a show that is no more at the moment.
Yeah. I came in, I think, 3 times.
Yeah.
Evening. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's always nice to be back on radio.
Well, hopefully we haven't scared you away.
No, because I always like to be on the other side of the mic. I kind
it's more relaxing, isn't it?
Yeah. And when you're in the studio, it's really good because people can't see you. I like that factor because it gives you a little bit of a kind of like a mystery, you know, because people can hear you but they can't see you. So,
and who's going to turn up next? All right. Well, look, thank you. don't forget, we're all in this together. Thanks for listening to us here on Broad on Joy 94.9. And don't forget, smash the patriarchy. That's what we're here for.
So today, one of the speakers that I want to introduce is Naui Jimenez, who's a student radical, a Mexican student radical based here in Melbourne. She's just come back from Mexico and will be able to tell us a bit about the anti-Trump sentiment there and around the world. Thank you, Naui.
Hey everyone, how's it going? So I just came back from Mexico a couple of weeks ago, and I think one of the, I guess, more heartbreaking things that happens when you live there is growing up, you always know of someone that, you know, for whatever reason, has to go to the United States and has to go through, you know, a horrific amount of effort to try and get over there. And I think just going through, like, one of Trump's quotes, the one that's, you know, really popular at the moment, that says, when Mexico sends its people, they're not sending the best. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people. Now, that's a shame. Yeah, fuck Donald Trump. So I think I just wanted to give everyone a bit of, you know, I guess the experience of people that have to go through that. So, you know, if you've, you know, for whatever reason, managed to, you know, save enough money to pay the coyote to get you through Mexico, if you've managed to, you know, avoid the police over there, which, by the way, works with the American state to avoid people entering the United States. They work very closely with them. If you manage to avoid not drowning in Rio Grande, or if you've managed, you know, to escape the police persecuting you through the border, you maybe might have made it to the U.S. Now, more than 3,000 people have died by attempting to cross the U.S.-Mexico border just between 2006 and 2015. That is a shame that there's people that have the necessity to cross, you know, go through all of this struggle to cross there. So I think the fact that, you know, when Donald Trump refers to Mexicans, it's the way from, like, he refers to them as rapists. That is a shame, because there's people that need, you know, to cross that border. The other thing to know is that, you know, America spends $13 billion a year in, you know, maintaining this border, you know, militarizing it, spending money on drones, on bombs, on, you know, just keeping it safe. Now let's, you know, put that into consideration. Is that really making the borders more secure? Well, it really isn't, because, you know, people are still crossing. People are still going through all that trouble to get there.
One of the other things that being in Mexico for the past 2 weeks brought up is the fact that, well, you know, the Mexican government has also, you know, collaborated with Donald Trump. The Mexican president actually invited Trump over and really did not say much about, you know, all of the stuff about building a wall. He actually welcomed him into the country. So I think there's a lot to say about the governments in every country that are equally as racist and equally as corrupt. Now, I think everyone has heard that under Obama, there's been more deportations than any other U.S. president. In places like Arizona, if you're, you know, deemed as an illegal, they can ask for your documents on the spot. That is a shame because that just, you know, provokes racism. It just says that if you are brown or if you are black, you are not welcome and you are not an American. That is a shame. Now, Trump is not offering any kind of solution to this racism that comes to all the job losses that are there. He thinks that just by bringing jobs into America, that's just going to, you know, cure all the issues. That is not true because he is part of the 1%. He is part of the people that benefit from all those people that don't have any jobs, from all those people that make him money. So I think he's not offering any kind of solution at the moment, and we just need to reiterate that the kind of racism, the kind of sexism that he offers is no kind of solution. He says, you know, I want to empower people. I want to bring the power back to you this morning. I think that is a whole lot of bullshit because he is part of the establishment.
Assalamu alaikum. May peace be upon you, brothers and sisters. My name is Linda Sarsour, and I am one of the national co-chairs for the Women's March on Washington. I stand here before you, unapologetically Muslim American, unapologetically Palestinian American, unapologetically from Brooklyn, New York. Sisters and brothers, you are what democracy looks like. Sisters and brothers, you are my hope for my community. I will respect the presidency, but I will not respect this president of the United States of America. I will not respect an administration that won an election on the backs of Muslims and black people and undocumented people and Mexicans and people with disabilities and on the backs of women. Many of our communities, including my community, the Muslim community, has been suffering in silence for the past 15 years under the Bush administration and under the Obama administration. The very things that you were outraged by during this election season, the Muslim registry programs, the banning of the Muslims, the dehumanization of the communities that I come from, that has been our reality for the past 15 years. Sisters and brothers, if you have come here today as your first time at a march, I welcome you. I ask you to stand and continue to keep your voices loud for black women, for native women, for undocumented women, for our LGBTQIA communities, for people with disabilities. You can count on me, your Palestinian Muslim sister, to keep her voice loud, keep her feet on the streets, keep my head held high, because I am not afraid.
Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise.
up from a past that is rooted in pain. I rise. I'm a black ocean leaping and wide. Welling and swelling, I bear in the tide, leaving behind nights of terror and fear. I rise into a daybreak that is wondrously clear. I rise, bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise. Now, I know you've been hearing a lot of talking, and we all have so much to say inside of us. I just want to thank you so much for your courage. Thank you so much for your womanliness. Thank you so much for your strength. Thank you so much. Let us continue to honor all that is beautiful about being feminine. We are mothers. We are caregivers. We are artists. We are activists. We are entrepreneurs, doctors, leaders of industry and technology. Our potential is unlimited. We rise. We rise. We will not allow our bodies to be owned and controlled by men in government or men anywhere for that matter. We will not allow our compassionate souls to get stepped on. We want the best for all Americans. No hate, no bigotry, no Muslim registry. We value education, healthcare, and equality. We will continue to rise until our voices are heard, until our planet's safety is not deferred, until our bombs stop dropping in other lands, until our dollar is the same dollar as a man's. And we continue to recognize that, yes, we can. Until everyone respects Mother Energy and everyone with a belly button must agree. So I need you to repeat after me. We are here.
We are here.
We're on fire.
We're on fire.
Living in a world.
Living in a world.
That's on fire. Feet on the ground.
Feet on the ground.
Not backing down.
Not backing down.
Feet on the ground.
Feet on the ground.
Not backing down.
Thank you, sisters. You've been listening to this Broad podcast here on Joy 94.9. Don't forget to tune in to us Monday nights at 9 p.m. on Joy for feminism in your ears.
No, it was a sellout. It was a takeover. They controlled you. They contained you. Oh.
This is for my people, believers, organized for mankind's sake. Ain't about that evil, deceitful, looking just to infiltrate. We ain't never been fake. This is the moment they can orchestrate. Do them like Hussein Abdullah and bow my head to the ruler and sujood as soon as I touch base. Get it straight. My mama, Mississippi. My dad, Savannah, Georgia. You mix that Malcolm X, that Marcus Garvey, spiritual warrior. I like my hijab on. I say cover it up cause I be here strong. No slave on the bubble, come to interrupt it on the day of judgment. All your wealth needs nothing, stop stunting. If you know what we dealing with, you see it. Sandra Blunt, Oscar got killed by policemen. Black bodies increasing, and they'll never defeat us. All power to the people, not the demons. Our season. It's our season.
I know you don't like what I'm saying, but I'm gonna tell you anyway. Cause I can prove what I'm saying.
I keep it all the way 100. If you really knew me, then you know I'm never fronting. Coming to you like a warner with the most high in my corner. Call me elephant in the room like a drone. Cause you're never alone, Allah is here. No, they cannot conquer the throne. One God, one fear, new chain. Slavery games for 100 years of pain. They're just trying to kill us like recording games. I'll say your name. Our prophet brought the message. And we pray towards the Kaaba. Believe in one God, Gassalah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. I like my hijab on with safety pins and underscarves. It wasn't for on me, decision came right from my heart. No, y'all haters is mad, cause I got a prayer rug in my bag. I don't be talking smack, you need to step back. I just be handling that. I believe it, so I'm on it. I read it till I know it. No cheating, no scheming, just please the one and own it. I believe it, so I'm on it. I read it till I know it. No cheating, no scheming, just please the one and own it. Cause I pray. Demand information. We can't be believing everything that they say, yeah. Coming to our hood, acting like it's all good with gentrification. We know in reality we the real ones that they slay, yeah.
They joined it. They didn't integrate it, they infiltrated it. They joined it, became a part of it, took it over. And as they took it over, it lost its militancy. They ceased to be angry. They cease to be hot. They cease to be uncompromising. Why, it even ceased to be a march. It became a picnic, a circus. Nothing but a circus with clowns and all.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.